Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Okay. Happy Tuesday, y'all. It's kind of weird, right? The podcast coming out so early. I guess it just depends on how you look at it. But the podcast coming out midweek is, I'm sure, a little weird. For those that like to just save it for the Monday commute, I totally understand. But we have a bit of news going into tomorrow, so I thought today would be a good day to relay some of that news. If you've been trading and you don't live under a rock, you know that the FOMC interest rate announcement is tomorrow. That is Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. It was 1 month ago, there was a 75% chance of it being a 25 basis point cut. Fast forward to now, that is now a 37% chance, while there's a 63% chance for a 50 basis point cut. In the last podcast episode, I did mention that if there was a 50 basis point cut, that I think that could trigger a large market sell-off. I personally think that because that's, you know, what I genuinely think, but this is also not a rare opinion. This is an opinion shared by many people on the internet as well. From what I can tell from my own algorithm that I'm being suggested and fed. But yeah, 63% chance now for a 50 basis point cut tomorrow. What I've done today with the stream, today's stream was pretty long. It was about 2 hours and 40 minutes. A lot of that was spent doing some due diligence on Kava. I wrote a large paper, or it's not large, but I wrote a good bit on why I think Kava will go down. And so I shared that with the Discord and a few other places and the stream. So the benefit is if you go to the stream or even if you watch the VOD, you also get that link because I posted that link to the document there as well. So there's Kava due diligence report that I wrote. And then I went ahead and closed all my cash secured puts that I had open. They were all profitable, so that was great. Hopefully this isn't an example of me taking profits too early. I just thought I would reduce exposure, just seeing that, you know, I had totally thought the 25 basis point cut was going to be more obvious, but now it's looking less likely than even the 50 basis point cut. So because my thesis has changed, my trading plan is going to change. So I'm taking exposure off the table. I wrote covered calls on my HOOD shares that I've been, Robinhood shares that I've been holding in the 5K account. And bought a put on NVIDIA because I already have a buy right as well. So I wanted to just hedge a little bit there. I bought puts on Nike to hedge against any sort of huge action downwards because my Nike position is also quite large. I also wrote covered calls on Nike. So really just hoping, honestly, that the market trades flat. That would be ideal. I think honestly at this point right now, because I'm so well positioned for the market to go down, I kind of prefer us not to moon. But from what I can tell right now, if I personally think that the market will tank if we do a 50 basis point cut, and there's a 63% chance of that happening, it just made sense to put protection in. So looking at it from right now, this perspective, I can't be upset if the market moons, because ideally I look at this as me making the most educated and best guess possible with the information that I have right now. I like the probabilities and I like my execution. And just because I execute something and I get a bad result doesn't necessarily make that a bad decision. So that's also an example of resulting. I've been really leaning into that. It's like, when am I getting awarded for a bad decision going well, or am I getting reprimanded for a good decision going bad? And trying to really focus on what's the truth, because it's really easy to get tunnel vision, right? If you have many bad decisions, you finally get one to work, and you just think that, okay, now I got it. Now this is a good decision. You just keep on trading and building bad habits. We want to award ourselves and acknowledge when good decisions go well, and be aware when bad decisions go well. There's a big difference between the two, and this is just me being maybe a little overprotective right now, but this is in line with my bearish thesis, especially if a 50 basis point rate cut is expected. You know, I say expected with a grain of salt, because it's a 63% chance compared to the 37% chance of a 25 basis point cut. It's not guaranteed, but it's an educated guess. The last week and a half since last Wednesday, I have held this thesis of that we were in fear, and I had guessed and had held a thesis that we would go from fear to neutral to greed. And I said that the market is bullish until proven guilty. That had actually came true today, where we went from fear all the way from Wednesday, a week ago, and we hit greed very briefly intraday today. Now we are back at neutral, just at the very, very tip of neutral, bordering greed. And so now I think the market has been proven guilty. I think the trend can flip now. Will it flip? I don't know. But I'm really proud that I stuck to a, first off, like a bullish thesis. It's tough to find those sometimes. But I stuck to it. I saw it. I stuck to it. And then I traded with it. So I was opening positions as the market was continuing to go up. And it just felt very good. I felt very good just picking a side, sticking to it until proven wrong. And I feel like that was a great example. 'Cause these last maybe... I guess I've only recorded once since then, but you know, I do these daily updates in the Discord, and yeah, I've held this thesis for since last late Wednesday or early Thursday, where the market is, to me, was bullish until proven guilty. And today it's proven to be slightly guilty. It's proven to me today, because if you don't know, SPY hit an all-time high today, but has since corrected, and SPY has hit red even today, which is a little alarming. But yeah, today is a sign that we could potentially hit a top and the market can flip. Now, the chances of another all-time high happening after an all-time high is pretty good. So just because we might end the day red today doesn't mean, again, that we've necessarily flipped. But it is something to keep in mind. There is a bullish case, you know, we just hit all-time high. All-time high is probably possible again. But realistically, it has shown a chink in the armor right now, because with FOMC coming tomorrow and a 50 basis point cut that is more expected than a 25 basis point cut, yes, to right now could be a flip in the thesis. Right now, in accordance to what I think about the market, you know, I'm just too unsure. So that's why I'm leaning onto the protective side. For example, taking off the table cash secured puts that were profitable, all of them, adding on covered calls and adding on long puts, you know. So this is just me feeling a little bit uncertain. I don't know if the market will continue to go up. I have my hunches that it will go down, but I'm not betting the entire farm that's going to go down. You know, I feel like this is probably like a, oh, why would you ever do that sort of thing? But, you know, from people coming from Wall Street Bets like I have, you know that there are other people that are trying to really make a lot of money very quickly. And we all know that that doesn't end very well for most people. I'd say like 1% of people that try to do that make a home run and share the post. But there's 99% of people that silently just quit trading and lose a lot of money. Lastly, I'd love to give you guys a little bit more information on our past history with 50 basis point cuts. This is from morningstar.co.uk. There is a, I'll link the article in the podcast show notes, but there is a bit here or section here called Risks of a 50 Basis Point Cut. A larger rate cut to kick off the Fed's easing cycle would also come with risks, especially since financial markets are extremely sensitive to any perceived guidance from the central bank. If the Fed were to cut by 50 basis points in September, we think markets would take that as an admission that is behind the curve, Bank of America analyst wrote in a research note last week. Market wouldn't be out of line to worry. Data recently analyzed by UBS shows that since 1987, every 50 basis point rate cut has preceded a recession. But there are economists note that those cuts have coincided with much more economic weakness than what we see today, and they argue that means the bar for a 50 basis point cut remains fairly high. I also do see here that this was written, September 16th, this was written yesterday. The bond auction just today kind of flipped the expectations for the rate cut just today, added like another, like, how much was it? Yeah, it literally flipped the odds. Before the bond auction today, this morning, it was a 66% chance of a 25 basis point cut. Now it's flipped to 38. And then yesterday was 34 chance of 50% chance, 50 basis cut. And then now it's 62. So yeah, I mean, it's tough. You read stuff like this, like every single time that, you know, this has happened, that this has happened, and you want to trade it so bad. It could always be different. But I am becoming more in line with just probability and odds. You know, I do see that if the market does, in fact, even take off, I'll be able to participate in that rally as well. It's not like I'm betting the farm again, you know, betting that the stock market will go down, just being protective. So I'll miss out on gains. It's not as if I'll lose a ton of money or anything. So kind of excited for that. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be an entire event. I think a lot of people are going to be watching. I know my stepdad is going to be watching. Like everyone's parents will know about it. Just primarily because they're going to see their IRA either go way up or way down. You know, there's a chance they also just trade flat at the end of the day after going up and down a lot, averaging somewhere in the middle. And that's why trading FOMC with calls and puts is so dangerous, man. It's like, it's after hours too. Actually, this is during the market. Let me see. FOMC, I believe. Yeah, I don't even know what time it is. Interest rate decision, 2 p.m. Eastern. So that's 11 a.m. Pacific. Yeah, so that's during the market. The market will be open. It will be fun to watch. I'll probably be watching it with the Discord. But yeah, I just thought I should get this podcast episode in prior to then, just outlining what I've done. You know, again, add on cover calls, add on long puts, and close my cash secure puts, reducing exposure that were profitable. And then, yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how that plays out. Ideally, I don't know what I want to happen. I'm definitely trading, like, I'm assuming the market's going to go flat. But yeah, it's hard to say. We just made an all-time high today on SPY. The chances again of making all-time high again are high. But we are at a really important rate cut announcement, and if it's 50, whew, man. I mean, what happens if he says we think it's going to be a great chance for or a good time for 25 basis point? I wonder what the market will honestly do. You know, maybe the narrative just quickly shifts to maybe, oh, they're not cutting fast enough, and then we go down anyway. You know, got to be open to that. Something that I think a lot of people don't know is that it's not Powell that announces the rate cut. There's a report that comes out first. There's a PDF report that comes out, and the market trades based on that. And then the market starts whipping even more as Powell talks 30 minutes later. So don't think like, oh, you know, I have to manage or do whatever I need to do at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, because the PDF report that actually has a number in it comes out at 2 p.m. Eastern. And there are absolutely robots that scan the PDF that will find what rate is in and then trade lightning fast before you can even read the first word on the PDF. So there's a lot to discern at 2 p.m. And then we get Powell talking for about an hour, 30 minutes later, answering questions from, you know, maybe they're called financial analysts from different institutions and news reporters and stuff, trying to make them always say like the wrong thing. I don't know. I've stopped watching that part just because it's just a nothing burger. He just keeps saying that, yeah, we'll observe the data and we'll see this and then we'll act accordingly. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I wouldn't set aside time to watch it is what I would say. I would just really just be managing your own portfolio before then, making your big decisions before then. Managing the portfolio or your portfolio during this entire thing, I think, is a stretch. So I'll leave off with that. That would be my last sort of little nugget of wisdom, I think. I think it would be a bad decision to sort of manage your positions like between or after 2 p.m. on Wednesday tomorrow. You should manage and make all of your decisions today, or not today, or maybe today, depending on what time you listen to this, but you should make all your decisions before 2 p.m. tomorrow. Primarily because I feel like you'd be really susceptible to emotional trading. Stick to your guns, stick to what you need to happen. I mean, that's a little different if you're buying same week puts or same week calls, but I really don't think you need to be doing that right now. Otherwise, you know, that's just for fun and that's for gambling and you can just do whatever. But if you're talking about making bigger decisions for your portfolio for the rest of the year, there's no real reason to make intraday decisions when the market is going to be flipping bigly up and bigly down on Wednesday. So make your, I would say the best decision is just having a clear plan and executing that plan prior to 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, before that PDF report comes out. That would make your decisions a little bit less emotional. Will it increase your chances of winning? No, because any decision that you put is going to pretty much react the same. It's just you having one less factor to worry about, and that's your emotions. Right, we've all been there. We've all tunnel vision to something. We're all like, oh man, I just traded for like 30 minutes straight. I can't believe I lost that much money. I didn't even notice, because you're just entering and exiting trades as fast as you can. You know, I think a good barometer for good trading, at least, you know, because I'm biased and I've been doing this for the last 5 years. I think if you don't have time to log the trade, I think it's not a good trade. I think you should have at least 30 seconds to upload the reason why you're doing the trade, you know? So just keep that in mind. Again, I'm biased because, of course, I own ThetaGain.com, and I'd love for you to sign up. I'd love for you to use it. But it's not like I'm, like, trying to pitch, like, a $5,000 option course. I'm pitching you a free website to log your trades. You know, it's like, I think there's a difference there that I built. And I wouldn't pitch this if I didn't think it worked. Yeah, currently losing to SPY by 0.2%. But I am beating QQQ by almost a full percent now. So yeah, want to quickly, let me see, doing one last calculation. I love doing this calculation, keeps me in check. SPY stock, SPY stock year to date, 18.88. I am 18.8. Hey, yo, right now at this very second, I am tied. I am tied with SPY, both at 18.8. And then QQQ stock. And then QQQ is 17.43% year to date. So I'm tied with SPY. And again, beating QQQ and feeling pretty good. Tomorrow, FOMC is going to be a big deal. Trade responsibly, and yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this intraday, very contextual, very news flashy timing of the podcast. I'll see you guys next time. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TasyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TasyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. All right, this week I want to list the patron names in the order of most trade logs. I'm going to go ahead and name the top six. I was going to say top five, but I don't want number six to get left behind because you guys are so close. But the top three are Major with 3,096 trade logs, and then it's Gruffalo with 2255, and then Slow-Mo with 2246. And then the next three are Meh, Mr. Integrity, and Banadushi. I'm actually not on this list because I'm not considered a patron on in my database, but I'm going to quickly check. I have 1,453. So it's pretty cool that there are a good amount of people. And this is just only the patrons, too. There are a lot of people that have more trade logs than me. And it's probably one of the more fulfilling parts of what I do. Is like I'm building something that people like to use. And really, people are using it more than me. And that's so awesome. So just going down the rest of the list. Again, starting from the top. Major, Gruffalo, Slow Motion, Meh, Mr. Integrity, Banadushi, Tecomi Elmo, Arfman, Danghai, Maltman 1856, Rustier, Espresso Bean, Maestro XC, Upstream Puddle, Nala, Steve Katsy, T-Wall 3252, McFly, Roostered, Fancy Wolf, Ensis 88, Desserts, EDC, RS Schmitty, Kaput, The Jester, Averillion, Alexander Kerm, Bachata Thug, Chicken Dinner, Loido, Asha Kabat, Can't Make Money RL, Beard Savage, Vegeta Plank, KJ Martin, MX7, Travella, Mods, Theta Collector, Young Rich, Y-Teen, Big Dillo, AJ Tarheel, Coop, ZKMSZ, Jimmy Gill, J Perkins 86, Husk P, Turbo Ricky, Clutch, Statistically Random, Sumatrix, Grandpa 95, Luca Badur, Suede Slides, Danube 9000, Los Pepes, Lord Skeletor, LPL, Stephanie 10, Strategy 28, Ben Z, Florida Man, Tyler LM 97, Bustin Justin, Joe Quirt, and Andy V. Whew, that was probably the cleanest I've ever read the username list or the patron list. I did a lot of reading this week, whether if that's like doing the, or reading and writing, but doing Kava DD for that due diligence report, which you can find if you go to twitch.tv/realtheatergang and then go in the chat. I guess that would be my reward to you if you've never gone there before, but you know, and you want to finally see what it's like. You can go there and find it in the chat. I won't include it in the show notes this time. I did that. I went ahead and like did a live reading of Bobby Hundred's report, I guess, or like some analysis of like what Nike needs to do to turn the company around. He wrote probably double spaced at least 15 pages of text, and it was so well written. It went by pretty quick. Posted links to old Nike commercials and how their branding now is like, it's more aggressive, like it's old, like it used to be. This has been a really good week of learning. I feel like maybe the last week was like kind of just meh, kind of just doing the same thing, you know, selling cash secure puts, trying to be a little cute with buy rights. Like, you know, it's just the same old stuff, but finding pieces of content like that and then being able to like sort of share that with the stream and read it together is a pretty cool feeling. Again, that is a very stark difference from being in a meeting first thing in the morning where I particularly did not enjoy it, to being in a meeting or, you know, a Twitch stream where people that show up want to be there, that want to participate, that want to see what's going on. It's cool, man. It's a big change of pace. And you know, I really do love my day to day right now. I honestly would not change a thing, and I'm very grateful for it. I do wish I could save a little bit more. Like, that would be ideal. You know, I feel like the, keeping at this pace right now, it, you know, with rate cuts coming in, the topic of purchasing a home is going to be very of topic, you know, among friends and stuff. And there's a part of me that feels kind of bad, you know, like I could afford the down payment, like no problem. But it's the mortgage right now that is not possible, especially with the elevated interest rates. I've always done every single calculation I've ever done by myself. I've never considered a partner ever when thinking of my own debt, which I have none of, or like my retirement accounts or the rate of growth or of anything, or being my affordability of home or car, never considered anyone else. So having help from a partner is only beneficial, but there is like the ego side, right? Like, man, I want to be able to provide a home, you know, to my family. That'd be pretty cool. I would love to do that. So, you know, the internal conversation is always like, do I need a home? Can we raise a kid in an apartment? I grew up in a trailer home, but did my parents set me up to be as successful as I am now, to not own a home now? Like, why do I have this expectation of having a home? Oh, that's right, because that was my dream. I wanted to have a big home with a nice big driveway to teach my kids how to ride a bike. Am I giving up on that dream by pursuing this lifestyle I have now? And that's been probably the hardest thing to think on, right? Like, I'm even having trouble putting words together to duct tape this all together. Like, there's a part of me that enjoys this, like, I'll admit it's easier. This is an easier life. It's not like I'm bending over backwards to stay up till 4 a.m. every day to push out new ThetaGang.com changes. But it just feels so good working on what I like to do. But it doesn't pay nearly as much as I would get if I, like, for example, just decided to go work at Google. I'm pretty confident I could work at Google if I wanted to, but I don't know, man. It's so tricky. You know, there's days where my fiance comes home and she didn't have the best day, and she's always like, "Well, how was your day?" And I'm like, in my head, I was like, I'm just like, "Oh, dude, I had like a really chill day. Like, I got a lot done. I felt really good. Stream was great. Recorded the podcast. New patrons signed up, so that was awesome, and doing all this." But I don't tell her that, though, you know? Like, I don't want her to, like, feel worse about her day. So I feel like, honestly, if anything, I've become a better partner as well. Like, I have more time to just, like, kind of ask and sit down and be like, "Oh, why was it bad?" And, you know, just be there trying, just listen, just tank the emotion, you know? Because I think before, when I was working 9 to 5 and it was pretty stressful, there were a lot of deadlines and a lot of meetings I didn't like to be in. I just felt like my day was being wasted and all that stuff. She would come home in a bad mood, maybe, and then maybe I'll be in a bad mood, and then we're just both in a bad mood. And then, you know, when we go out to eat and we're both in a bad mood, it just feels like a waste of money. Because, you know, typically when we go out to eat, I love just, like, talking and catching up. And you could catch up and do that same thing at home too. But, like, especially when you go out, it's, like, imperative to me that we're both in a good mood, you know. But, like, there'd be times where we go out to eat and I'm just not in a good mood, or I'm not being a good listening partner. Because that's what she needs. Or, you know, I feel like really any partner in these is someone that just listens sometimes. And so now, you know, having all this, like, free mental bandwidth, I'm able to just, like, listen and not provide solutions or anything, which I think is really hard as a dude, especially if you're stressed and you got a lot of things on your mind, because you just want to solve this thing and move on. You want to just, like, quit being sad, you know. But now having I wish this wasn't a trade-off, you know. Like, I wish I could own a home and teach my kids how to ride a bike on a driveway and do what I love. That would be amazing. But comparing that to my childhood and how I grew up, I didn't grow up in a house. I grew up in a trailer park. And my dad taught me how to ride a bike at a rundown Kmart. That was my last memory of my dad before my parents separated, divorced. Again, for first-time listeners, my parents have been divorced forever. I love my dad. I still talk to him, and he still sends me texts. There's nothing, no bad blood between my parents. But yeah, I had it wasn't rough. I felt loved. I felt taken care of. I felt like my mom loved me. I felt like, honestly, we were good. But there is this expectation that I'm holding for myself where I feel like as I was growing up, maybe this was like me working at my first few tech jobs, and I was like, yeah, I have a lot of money coming in. Yeah, I could for sure save. Yeah, I'm gonna buy this big house. But I'm sort of just thinking on that. And, you know, my fiance will ask, like, "Oh, are we gonna buy a home soon?" Not in a, like, accusatory manner or anything. I don't get any of those vibes. You know, she's just more of like, "Oh, should we be saving or and this stuff?" I'm like, Honestly, at this rate, I don't think so, at least for now. So we'll just be on the sidelines until mortgage rates continue to go down. And that might prove to be actually a good thing, but honestly, with rates coming down, that means competition is about to spark up again. So maybe home prices even go up. But at this point, I think I'm willing to just tank like a really large mortgage if it's just at a low interest rate. Because I hate debt. But if it's to live in a house, then maybe it's okay. There's also another universe where we just upgrade the size of like our apartment. Instead of a one bedroom, we get a two bedroom. And that seems honestly amazing. It just feels bad because we just wouldn't be building equity, you know? But from, you know, a couple that doesn't have that much debt or any debt at all, it's like we have time. We have time to figure things out. And so that's been my saving grace lately, is just remembering that, like, you know, I try to remember the past as much as possible. I remember I was so sad. You know, I don't think I was depressed. My mom has been depressed before. I know what depression looks like. My mom still has a mild case of it, but like, I know what depressed feels. I was not depressed, but I was really sad. I was being paid a lot of money, but I was doing something I just didn't want to do. And you know, when I was a junior engineer, I worked with a senior engineer very closely, consider him my mentor, and he's always led me in like the right direction, you know, teaching me to be selfish, teaching me to get what I need to get, and, you know, always learn, always keep building. And that's just translated so much in my life. I saw him make a disgusting amount of money, and do maybe four times less amount of work, because we worked at different places at that time. And he was unhappy. And I thought to myself, what? How is that even possible? Like, how could you even think that? But I get it now. Like, I understand his perspective. And that's what I think life is all about, is you will question a lot of things growing up. And I mean, you really never stop growing up. I don't think you really stop maturing until you decide to. But this was an opinion I had maybe back in 2017, 2018, 2019. Now I understand. Now I get it. There is a certain amount of money that I'm willing to get paid in exchange for keeping my peace. I think I was at a pay grade that would be literally trading stress and livelihood for money. And that, honestly, at this point, it's not worth it, right? Like, I mean, with everything that I have right now, including the stock gains, which I'm also thankful for, like, thank goodness I'm doing as well as I am this year. But I don't even need the same pay grade when I'm back. I could just get something that pays like a third of what I used to get paid, and then we're easily on track for a house. Like, I'm talking like I could get paid a junior position if I wanted to get in, and then we'd be well ahead of affording a house. And who knows? Maybe, you know, realistically, I wouldn't take a junior position, but like, there's a chance that I just pick up a really low stress, lots of time allotted. Maybe it's like a remote job that's like, hey, just do this on your own time, but just get it done type of deal. But fortunately, just not there yet. I honestly think I have another full year in me to do this full time. And maybe at the end of that year, I say this same thing again. I extend it another year. But that's just what's been on my mind. You know, I feel like not a lot of people get insight into sort of like what it's like to really start your own thing when you go from a salary job to this, you know, like Patreon, a little bit from Twitch, a little bit from like marketing partnerships. it's different, right? Like my life, my workday is totally dictated by me, but you know what else is dictated by me? The amount of money that I make. So it's like whether or not I make enough is my fault every day. And it's just something that is always just kind of on your mind, you know? It's not nearly as stressful as doing something that you feel like is unfulfilling, because this is pretty fulfilling. And every single dollar increase feels so rewarding, because you're just working on something that you love and you're getting paid to do it. It's just less. And you know me, I was raised by my very conservative mom, very frugal. And so she's always taught me, hey, keep a job, get paid, listen to instructions, and you know, be successful that way. So this is definitely going against the grain of what I was taught and how I was raised. But I'm okay so far, and I'm enjoying the process. But these are, again, just some of my thoughts. Thank you for listening. I'll see everyone next week, where there will be another update on where we are with interest rates. That'll be like probably a 1 week update on where we are after FOMC, after the interest rate announcement. And that should be a fun episode too. And yeah, thank you again for listening. Twitch.tv/RealThetaGang at 9 a.m. Pacific time if you want to watch the market with me. It's a good time. There are a lot of chatters there that are also listeners to the podcast and loggers on the website if you want to get to know more of the community. Yeah. Okay, cool. Later, guys.